You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, I want to speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swally here. Emmanuel Acho in the building again. Now you're old news. You've been here a day already. And today we're going to start with Dak Prescott, who's about to get paid for the first time in his career after signing a franchise tender worth about $31 million this season. But he's still looking for that long-term deal from Jerry Jones. And now Bleacher Report says Dak actually holds all the cards in the negotiations because the team will have to sign him or watch his salary balloon out of control on franchise tags over the next couple seasons. So, Acho, do you agree that Dak has all the leverage here?
I never get tired of talking about Dak Prescott.
Oh, it's your
boy. I never do.
It's
I never do.
Texas.
And I hope and I assume that y'all never get tired of listening to Dak Prescott talk because it's always so entertaining, Marcellus. Dak Prescott, does he have leverage? Absolutely not, sir.
Oh,
he doesn't. Because who has leverage, my friend? The man cutting the checks. Who has leverage? The man who owns the team. That is who has leverage. Let me tell you. Dak Prescott lost leverage when two things happened. Number one, the Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round. That's the first thing.
Boom.
The second thing that led to Dak losing leverage was when they signed Andy Dalton. Not because Andy Dalton is some sort of world beater.
The two-win Andy Dalton last year? Two-win,
okay,
man?
First of all, calm down. Okay, calm down.
Oh, just facts.
But not because Andy Dalton is some kind of world beater, but because Andy Dalton has proved to be a competent quarterback when you put competent pieces around him. Now, when you look at the Cowboys, name a team in the NFL with more skill position talent. You could talk about the Buccaneers, but they ain't got a running back, sir. Sir,
not the same level running back. It depends on what Ezekiel we get.
Sure.
Okay.
But when I look at the Cowboys, let me just give y'all some stats. You're a fact guy.
I am. There you go.
In 2 days, I've learned that you're a fact guy.
That's
well,
right.
The Cowboys had not one, but 2,000-yard receivers last year.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper. The Cowboys had a 1,300-yard running back last year. The Cowboys have, for the last decade, had one of the best offensive lines in football. So if you were Dak Prescott, you should be good.
Oh.
If you're the Cowboys quarterback, you should be balling. So for that reason, sir, and for that reason alone, I am not convinced Dak Prescott has leverage.
Wow, you just went with the go with the flow guy. Put anybody in there. Oh, you know what? He's nothing but a stopgap. Anybody could do what Dak has done. Not exactly. Let me answer the question first of all.
Please,
does he have all the leverage if you capitalize A-L-L? Yes, he does. He has all the leverage to the tune that Jerry Jones just wrote him a $31.4 million check. And you told me that a fool and his money will soon part. Well, it's kind of foolish not to pay Dak. And now you're parting from $31 million for 1 year. Think about this. I know they had math classes at Texas.
I don't
know if you attended, but
I tried.
You know, I know how UT does it. Here's the thing. 4 years in the league, and you've made $4 million on the field. What's that average? Come on, Texas.
One million.
All right, so you got 1 million
carried
right there. Now, my grandmother used to always talk about this fish tank principle. She used to talk about a mentality. She's
okay.
Like, baby, the fish never gets bigger than a tank. And I was like, that's kind of true, Grandma. You got some big old bluegills in there, and they about this small because the tank this little. But Dak's mind has been used to in a reality of only 1 million per year and balling out of control. Fifth all-time in passer rating. The same as Tom Brady. Higher than Steve Young. Higher than Joe Montana. Higher than Peyton Manning. But only on a $1 million a year deal. And this year, Jerry has to give him
31.4 in 1 year? Come on, Acho. I don't care how you love Dak, how you don't like Dak. Someone who was balling at one per gets 31 for just 1 year? He's shown he has all the leverage.
But the question on the table isn't about his Dak outperformed his previous contract.
Good point.
That would be unequivocally yes. I'm not here to disagree with that.
Yes.
I don't believe that Dak is a stopgap. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that with Dak Prescott at the helm, you know you're going to win about 8, 9, or 10 games.
What about 13?
That's not me.
What about his rookie year?
When they were supposed to win the Super Bowl? That rookie year?
Oh, you mean
when the Cowboys then?
When he was a rookie and he had to replace a franchise quarterback?
He did.
Oh, he did that.
But what have we seen the last... It's not what have you done for me, sir. What have you done for me lately? You know that.
I heard the song. Okay, keep going.
So with that being said, if you're the Cowboys, you know what you're going to get from Dak. 8, 9, or 10 wins, which is fine. Like, 9, 10 wins. We said that yesterday. That is solid. Mm-hmm. But when you are playing for the most esteemed franchise of all franchises, I don't know if that is enough. You know what you're going to get from Andy Dalton. You're going to go to the playoffs. You're likely going to lose. What have we seen from Dak Prescott? You go to the playoffs. He's been there twice. He's won one playoff game. That is very commendable.
Golf class.
It's commendable.
Golf class.
It's commendable.
Dak?
But what I'm saying is, does he have the leverage to be the highest paid? Because that's really the question. That's what's implicit. Does he have the leverage to be the highest paid? He doesn't have the leverage for it.
Oh, I love your pure definitions, and I love how you can alter them in your dictionary.
Please.
Well, let me take you to the Dactionary. You know what I'm saying? This is what Dak has done. In terms of, you say wins? How about the fifth most wins in your first four seasons in NFL history? Oh, that doesn't help his leverage. I think it should. All right, how about since he's been in the league, 2016? Second most wins, tied for 40 wins. And you say, he's only good for 8, 9 wins. According to my numbers in the Dactionary, I think that you have played around with the numbers.
Marcellus, are we accountants or are we sports opinionists, sir? You talking about what he did and how he beat Montana in his first 5 and 10 years. Here's my thing, sir. This is a day and age in the NFL where you and I have both, with our own eyes, seen young quarterbacks transcend greatness. That's what we've seen as of late.
That's real.
Patrick Mahomes, within his first 2 years, Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, NFL MVP. What we've seen Carson Wentz do with the Eagles, yes, he got hurt, and then Nick Foles comes in, leads them to a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson at the age of 23, NFL MVP. So it's not as if we haven't seen young quarterbacks do what Dak has done, but in a more meaningful way. So I'm not so impressed, so to speak, by you just throwing out all of Dak's top five. Accomplished. I'm just not. I need more.
You prefer the bottom five. Like in NFL, you know this. They don't pay for just production. They pay for potential. Next man
That's
up.
True. That's
Jimmy
true.
Jimmy G 2 years ago was not the best quarterback in the league.
Very true.
But he was the highest paid in NFL history. And Dak Prescott right now, if he wants to play the franchise game, if Jerry wants to do that, that will add up to the tune of, what, $123 million in 3 years. Acho, remember he only made a million per year.
You're not wrong.
If you don't think that's leverage, brother, we need to talk about contracts a little deeper. Don't let Fox get over on you like that. All right, elsewhere in the NFL, the league has decided to postpone this year's Hall of Fame enshrinement and cancel the Hall of Fame game due to the coronavirus pandemic. The game was scheduled for August 6th and marks the kickoff of the preseason every year. It's also the first event on the NFL calendar to be canceled due to the pandemic. Acho, what's your reaction here?
Everybody, calm down.
I'm listening.
I've seen people freaking out, pulling their hair out. The house is on fire. It's not. Wasn't nobody trying to play in the preseason anyway.
Nobody.
Let's just keep
Never,
it a buck.
Ever.
Nobody was trying to play in the preseason anyway,
right.
Let alone the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. The only people that the Hall of Fame game benefits is the owner and the fans to a degree. But half the time, the fans checking out anyway. Remember, what have we heard the last 4 years? Players want to cut the preseason down from 4 games to 2 games. The Hall of Fame game is the extra game. I had to go to that game once. My rookie year, I was drafted by the Cleveland Browns, so I lived in Bray, Ohio. My brother and the Cardinals, they were playing in the Hall of Fame game. It was about an hour and a half drive. I went to that game.
Okay. Ain't nobody checking for that game.
Nobody.
So, with that being said, I'm not worried about the fate or the fortune of the NFL because of a essentially meaningless game. The only people I actually am concerned for are those that were going to be inducted into the Hall, because that's a very meaningful, very powerful, very monumental, very sentimental moment, which will be honored, I'm sure, at a later date. Yeah. But all NFL fans, calm down. We're just losing a Hall of Fame game and a preseason game that nobody really cared about.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Preseason? What? That's you. Like, you're allergic to preseason when you're in the NFL. But to your point, I am a little upset that they canceled this year, the year I actually finally get in, and they're going to postpone. No? I know you ain't looking away. But no, in all seriousness, man, look, I have never in my life been the disruptive figure on a team. I've always been the guy like, look, I'm going to get my opinion across, coach, but at the same time, I respect you, the pecking order, and your authority. But I got a problem, coach. Hey, excuse me. You know we never played any preseason games in high school? Excuse me, coach. In college, I just don't remember ever a preseason game. But now I'm a professional. You're supposed to protect us as an asset. And we're literally going out there and having to play in a game that you even told us doesn't mean anything and doesn't matter. Coach, you telling me I have to get suited up, spat it up, go through the whole pregame mental routine, and then go out there for three plays? Who are you trying to impress that I don't have to impress, coach? Because I don't understand why we're doing this. And we're risking injury. Guys get hurt in meaningless games. So whoever's pulling their hair out, put it back in, get some plugs, do something, because
borrow some of mine. Borrow some, not all of it. I mean, I can't afford to give it all out. But
man, because no player is sweating this. Coming up, looks like a lot of experts think Aaron Rodgers has lost his place among the NFL's elite. We'll tell you if they're making a huge mistake. Next! Speak for yourself, presented by
Sleep Number. A healthy lifestyle should be easy, right? Eat veggies, drink green smoothies, exercise to get your heart rate up. Do yoga to bring your heart rate down. Whew, maybe not so easy. But there is something that helps improve everything, and you can do it with your eyes closed. It's sleep. Sleep Number knows what it takes to sleep your best. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed lets you choose your ideal firmness, comfort, and support on each side, your Sleep Number setting. It's the perfect solution for couples. These beds are so smart. They respond to your every move and automatically adjust to keep you sleeping comfortably all night. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, during the lowest prices of the season sale, save $400 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed, now only $12.99. You only find Sleep Number at Sleep Number stores or by visiting www.sleepnumber.com/cadence.
Let's move now to Green Bay, where this offseason it looks like Aaron Rodgers just isn't getting the respect that he's used to. First, the Packers drafted his replacement without telling him, and now a bunch of experts are saying he's no longer one of the NFL's elite quarterbacks, with CBS Sports not even putting Rodgers in the top 10 in his latest QB ranking. We're joined now by NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. But Marcellus, I'm going to come to you first. Is it crazy to leave Rodgers out the top 10 here?
Not crazy at all. I understand it may be shocking to some people like Emmanuel Acho, who I found out, were you born in 1990?
1990,
yeah, yes. You haven't seen enough football. Let me help you out. Acho, you were too young to understand what this is. It may be a shock because of the name, but it is not a shock because of the game. And that's what you have to do. Take yourself out of that emotional place and just look at performance. And then look at these names on this list right here, Acho. I dare you to say that Aaron Rodgers, in projection, next year is better than any of these guys, and I tell you why. Aaron Rodgers is in a system right now that is run-oriented. Aaron Rodgers is in a system that won 13 games last year and was in the NFC Championship game with a lesser Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the same guy that since 2016 has been in decline. But no one wants to talk about that because he's still the most talented quarterback in the NFL. Oh, we can't even say that anymore because Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are in the building. So I understand Aaron Rodgers. You got him on your Mount Rushmore. He's a future Hall of Famer. You still discount double-checking in the living room. I don't give a damn. Right now, 2020, looking forward, Aaron Rodgers is not top 10.
Man, is that Aaron Kaepernick? Oh, my gosh. You hate so hard on my man right there. Hey, facts. I got him, Acho.
Please.
I got him, Acho.
Oh, I love it. Challenge.
Marcellus.
What'd it do?
If I can recall, you made a lot of these same arguments when we were talking about one Tom Brady. And Tom is pretty high on this list right now. I don't know. Who has more left, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? Who do you think?
Tom Brady.
Who do you think, Marcellus?
Tom Brady because of weapons.
Stop.
Because of weapons. Stop. Yes.
He does not have more than Aaron Rodgers left in the tank. That's first and foremost. But okay, you can use that. He does have a 1-2 punch. That's fine. Okay. Secondly, here's some good evidence. All right, Mr. Columbia. Ben Roethlisberger, what was his stat line last year versus Aaron Rodgers?
Paid on the sideline. I'm away.
Yeah. Paid on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Right? Is there enough statistical evidence there to say, how disrespectful, honestly, as an expert, how disrespectful is it to put a man in the top 10 over any quarterback, Garoppolo, anyone who played last season, and them not to be on that list with a man who's number 10 that did not play during the course of last season? I don't buy it. I think it discredits the list to begin with. And I'm just saying, it's debatable on some of these other guys, but if I'm a pinpoint one piece that says this is not right, you can't take a guy like Aaron Rodgers and keep him off of the list for a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, for as accomplished as he is, did not play last season. Mm. You can have it, Mr. Macho Acho. Go ahead. You can finish. Mm.
Thank you. If you could just lob that oop right next to the rim so I can dunk on Marcellus, please, sir.
Here you go.
Here's what I learned, Marcellus.
What?
Sir.
Yes?
You're a wonderful man, but you are a master contortionist.
Wonderful man.
Right? You're a master contortionist. You take stats and you just so nicely twist them to make them say what you want.
You know me well.
Yes.
Fans, viewers, countrymen, lend me your ears, please. Only twice in NFL history has a quarterback in back-to-back seasons accumulated 50 touchdowns with less than 10 interceptions and 8,000-plus yards. Mm. The two people that have done it, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Mm. Aaron Rodgers did it in 2018 and 2019. Everybody says that Aaron Rodgers has gone over the hill. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It is management. The Packers are one of eight other teams that didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Mm. But come on, Nacho, eight other teams, that sounds like a lot. Mm. Let me explain to you those teams. Arizona Cardinals,
yeah.
Rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens, yeah. Running team.
Yeah.
They're the Packers. Then there's the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Quarterback got hurt. New York Giants, rookie quarterback. New York Jets, Adam Gase is their head coach, but also rookie quarterback who got mono. The Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz was playing with third teamers. And lastly, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Washington Redskins. That speaks for itself. Mm. Aaron Rodgers is not the problem. Never has been. He never will be. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time by skill set. Not necessarily by wins and Lombardi trophies, but by skill set. So if you ever dare make a list of the top 10 Marcellus.
Yes, sir.
It is ridiculous. It is ludicrous. It is incomprehensible.
Okay.
To not have Aaron Rodgers on that list.
Oh, man, y'all done messed up. First of all, in the A block, I throw out all the numbers. You tell me, yeah, are we accountants up here? And then in the B block, your butt is an accountant. But I'm going to let that slide. There's so many ways I could just destroy y'all, so I'll pick them all. Here's the first one. We're talking about projections, and if anybody wants to understand what that word means, it means future. Not past. You guys are dragging me into a past conversation, and I'm not going to ever dispute his greatness looking backwards. But if we're looking through the windshield, not the rearview mirror, oh, it's a different Aaron Rodgers in front of me. You want to know who he is? This is the guy since 2016, when he started to go in decline, hasn't thrown for over 30 touchdowns in any of those years. The same guy who hasn't thrown for over 65% in completion percentage since 2016. Since y'all want to go backwards and only want to pick where you want to go when you go backwards. We're talking about a guy, LeVar Arrington just said, how can you put Roethlisberger in there because of injury last year over someone who played? Oh, excuse me. So hypothetically, if Patrick Mahomes didn't play last year, you wouldn't put him in the top 10 this year? Or let's get out of the hypothetical. Realistically, Tom Brady missed an entire year. Matt Castle, 11-5. Do you think he wasn't ranked top 10 the next year? check the history books, he was. So I'm done hogging all the time. I love this little game of fodder you guys want to play. But if you want to go numbers, he doesn't add up. If you want to go by name and emotion and you still got your Green Bay jersey, have that conversation off air, guys. Come on.
Marcellus, didn't you just say that Tom Brady belongs on the list because he has more weapons than Aaron Rodgers? That's what you said, right?
Yes, he does.
Right. So they did not add too much to what Aaron Rodgers has going into this season, correct?
Right.
All right, so you just walked into this rabbit trap.
You know you messed up, right? I don't feel it yet.
You know you messed up.
You know
you messed up.
You dropped the bottle of beer at 11:30.
You said you dropped the bottle of beer. Okay, now here's the thing. What game did Aaron Rodgers finish with that lack of personnel in this past season?
Don't do that. NFC Championship game.
Okay. How many other NFC teams were in that NFC Championship game?
They only had one opponent.
Okay, which was the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, Your Honor.
And their quarterback isn't even on the list.
Ooh.
Okay, go ahead, Acho.
Wait a minute, you can't just have an ellipsis, dot, 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 I think that's the point.
Very quickly. Can we just throw the list back up there, please?
Please, help them out.
As we end this argument, please throw this list back up there. When you look at this list, Marcellus, you played the game of football for a long time.
Yeah.
Who puts fear in your hearts and in your eyes? Aaron Rodgers puts more fear in your heart than Dak Prescott with the game on the line. Aaron Rodgers puts more fear in your heart than Ben Roethlisberger with the game on the line. Aaron Rodgers puts more fear in your heart than Matthew Stafford with the game on the line. Aaron Rodgers puts more fear in your heart than about half the names on that list, sir. Or Madden, a video game. Aaron Rodgers still going to get you
work. Can I get one more point in? How are you going to put fear in your heart when last year, when he came to California, you remember those games? Threw for 108 passing yards. He's going to put fear in my heart if he hands the ball off. He's going to put fear in my heart if Aaron Rodgers just standing there. As soon as the play starts, I'm like, oh, that ain't Aaron Rodgers like I'm used to seeing him. This is the same guy that for three games averaged 166 passing yards and combined only two touchdowns. And y'all telling me he top 10? I love him, but stop that.
Here's what we know. Marcellus is wrong and we're right. But let's move to college football.
Stop.
Where our guy Reggie Bush, he recently opened up about an interesting wrinkle in his history with Longhorn legend, my guy, V.Y. Vince Young. Mm-hmm. We all remember that Texas got the best of SC in that legendary title game. But when Reggie had to give up his Heisman a few years later, Vince actually turned down the chance to accept the award in Bush's place. Marcellus, it's time for you to right your wrongs. Would you have blamed Vince for taking that Heisman trophy?
Hell yeah. And I'm glad he did the right thing then, and we're talking about it now. It's funny, because Vince came on my radio show years ago, and we talked about this. And I was like, boy, if you would have had that thing up in your living room, I would have clowned. Like, you didn't earn that. It's not about... People have to understand the difference between something that happens in the contest that disqualifies you and something that doesn't in the contest that disqualifies you. They're not the same thing. So in Reggie's situation, there were no infractions on the field. He got no competitive advantage being on the field. So now they take away his trophy because his mama got a purse. His daddy got a house. Whatever you want to say, that did not impact the game field. And so Vince Young is smart. Vince Young's like, I didn't earn this. You can't give me something like that. So in my sport of track and field, which is my favorite sport, you're going to learn that about me, Acho.
Please.
If we're racing around the curve in the 400 and you just continuously step on the line or get out your lane, and then at the end of the race, you beat me and they put silver on my neck and then they review the film and they say, oh, Acho didn't run a 400. He ran a 396. Oh, I will take the silver off gladly and put gold on.
Fair.
But if they tell me that Acho Mama got a purse, I'm keeping silver on like Vince Young did. Stop it.
I'm glad you brought up track and field because I am a track and field buff and love the sport as well.
Yes.
But I'm going to take it and I'm going to use that one against you, Marcellus.
Again?
First of all, no, I would not look at him and be disappointed if he accepted the award. That's first and foremost. That would be like saying Carl Lewis, don't take that gold medal because Ben Johnson ran away from you in that big race, okay?
Talk about it.
I sat there and I watched it. We enjoyed it. We saw the experience of Ben Johnson getting his two-foot hop out of the blocks and running away from Carl Lewis, right?
Yes.
But upon further review, it was not based upon his performance. It was based upon his enhancement of performance. And therefore, the rules were broken.
That was my point. He cheated field, on the surface. That's called cheating.
Acho, I know you want to be on the other cheating. Side, but Acho, give it to me.
The cheating. Hold on.
You made
the
my
cheating
point.
Took place. No, I did not. His mama, the cheating took place off the field.
Ben Johnson, mama didn't get a purse.
Here's the thing.
He cheated.
Here's the thing. Get him, Acho. Gentlemen, let's bring this back into perspective.
Yes, please.
The problem at hand was not Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, one of the most talented players. No, Reggie Bush, the most electrifying college football player in my lifetime. Let me just make
Barry Sanders.
Please. In my lifetime. So remember, I was born in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Sorry, 1990. Thank you. I'm a youngin' on here. But more importantly, Reggie got the Heisman before the biggest game of the season was played. Ooh. Vince Young played the national championship game after the Heisman Trophy ceremony already existed. No fault of Reggie Bush's, only fault on the Heisman. Now, with that being said, Vince Young broke a Rose Bowl record in that game, 467 total yards. It would later go on to be broken again. Texas, I am a Texas alum. I watched that game closely. Texas was never supposed to have a chance to win that game outside of that man. Mama, there goes that man in Vince Young. So with that being said, I wouldn't have blamed BY for taking it. Honestly, I wish BY would have took it, because when you go to Texas as a recruit, which I did, you walk into the trophy room, Marcellus. You walk into the trophy room, LeVar, and you see all the nice, big, shiny trophies, and that gets you to commit. We ain't have that Heisman that I wish Vince Young would have got. So emotionally speaking, if I can, gentlemen, I wish he would have took it.
Oh, wow. You still committed, and you didn't see it, so I don't think it would have had that much impact. Something else must have got you there. Skipping that math class or something, maybe. Something, I don't know what they recruited you with, but something got you in the building, and it wasn't a second-place Heisman Trophy.
It's the fact that you guys know the merit-based awards are all we care for. If someone walked up to you before the game and said, you're the MVP of this game, you'd be like, I didn't earn it.
Some people, like y'all, it sounds like, would just put the award on and say, why play the game?
I remember explicitly my senior year lying to everyone in the high school at the pep rally. We're going to win a division. Go, Wiley. And I'm a big recruit. Everybody's like, oh, Wiley is going to lead us into the promised land. You know how many games we won that year, y'all?
How many?
2-0.
Hold on. The story gets better. We were 0-10. But then we get a letter from the CIF like 3 months later after the season. We would like to amend your record to 1-9 because an ineligible player was on the other team.
You should have took that one win.
And now y'all walking around talking about we 1-9 when I know damn well we were 0-10. LeVar.
But you did get that one. And Peter Ward was the most electrifying player from my time. And I'll give you, this is close to my heart because here's the thing. Even though I didn't take an award that Peter didn't get, they did not give Peter awards based off of him going to Dillard's and getting a discount at Dillard's. So I gave him my award, the best defensive player in the country on national television. I gave him my award because if y'all weren't going to honor him and give him the award that he was deserving of, then I'll take as the best defensive player in the country, and I'll give him my Chuck Benarek Award because you guys are doing him incorrectly. And I think that this is the case with Vince Young right here. I'm not going to take the trophy because it's incorrect. Whether it's okay to do it, which I think it's okay, or whether you think that it's not okay, whatever side you fall on, the right thing to do is to support one another in a situation like this. And they were doing Reggie wrong. And Vince Young was there as an advocate and as a supporter. And that's what I appreciated about what he didn't do.
Well, we can all sing Kumbaya because we all agree on that one. Well, coming up, baseball is back. And our guy Nick Swisher will be here to answer all your questions about what is sure to be a wild season. Next, speak for yourself.
Major League Baseball has announced that the 2020 season will begin on Friday, July 24th, with MLB on Fox returning on July 25th. With Fox Saturday Baseball. And we could not be more excited about this great news for baseball fans all across the country. Baseball is back. And of course, America's home for baseball this summer, as always, will be Fox and FS1. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swally here, Emmanuel Acho in the building. We're so excited that baseball is back. There's only one way to look ahead to the upcoming season, and that's what our guy, Fox MLB analyst, Nick Swisher in the building.
Swizzy!
You know it, man. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, man. It's baseball time, it sounds like. A 60-game regular season. Give baseball an NFL feel, as each game will be super important. How pumped are you for the shortened season?
so pumped. I mean, the fact that we actually have a live sporting event other than golf or cornhole, bro, I am stoked about it. I don't even think you have to be a baseball fan to be excited about baseball. It definitely has way more of an NFL-type feel. Mm. And for the first time in my life, I can honestly say that baseball is going to be a sprint rather than a marathon. Oh. And I'm excited about it.
I love it. Well, Swish, let me ask you this. In a shortened season, what do you expect? Better hitting or pitching? And who do you think has the advantage?
Yeah, I tell you what. I think the advantage goes to the guys who have been working the entire time off. I think we will immediately know who has been working and who hasn't. Hey, and by the way, at the end of the day, I always think good pitching is going to be good hitting. I think pitchers have, 60 feet, 6 inches every single time. There's not a whole lot of variables that come into play. So I think for all the pitchers that have been working, keeping themselves in shape, I definitely think those guys have the advantage.
Yeah, well, with the new schedule comes some funky new rules for the shortened season, including the NL. NL's using the designated hitter. The purists, they don't like it. What about you?
I love it. Come on, man. I'm an offensive guy. Let's be honest, bro. I love, I said, hey, who wants to see a pitcher come up with the bases loaded, bro? Not me. I'm going to see somebody going off the fourth deck, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think now in a power-type game, being able to add 35, 45 home runs to your lineup only helps. You can put an established, solid hitter in the middle of your lineup, and that always helps your lineup top and bottom.
So 60 games are supposed to be played in 66 days, roughly, if I get that right. So another new rule is teams are going to begin extra innings with a runner on second base. Do you think that might actually stick?
Well, I can only say this from experience. I've been able to witness at the minor league level, and it's great. It saves pitchers' arms. It saves guys from playing another 2 or 3 hours. And at the end of the day, man, we all know the TV deals are trying to get you off by 10 o'clock anyways. Yeah, so at the end of the day, as long as they can get that game and to keep it within 10, 11, 12, 13 innings, I think that's great. It saves players. It keeps them from, maybe the opportunity of getting injured. And especially in a 60-game season, I think it's great. I love the fact that Major League Baseball is being fluid, trying to figure all this stuff out. But at the end of the day, all I want is the baseball to get back on the field and play it.
All right, and all we want is an early prediction before we let you go, Swizzy. Who takes home the World Series trophy in October?
Oh, you know it, man. Hey, I'm going near and dear to my heart, guys. New York Yankees, baby.
That was an emotional pick.
That was an emotional pick.
You know what I mean?
Low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit, Swizz.
I got New York, L.A., bro. Dodgers, Yankees, World Series. I think the Houston Astros have done a pretty good job because they're not going to get heckled by anybody this year. But I got the Yankees pulling it off, bro. It's been since 09. All of a sudden, Aaron Judge is healthy. Aaron Hicks, Giancarlo Stanton, James Paxton, all these guys that were supposed to be injured at the beginning of the season will now be healthy. Even with Severino on the DL, we got a guy by the name of Gerrit Cole that's about to get nasty this year, bro. So I cannot wait, dude. Yankees, 2020 champ, bro, for sure.
All right, I'll be there socially distancing, though, so you might not see me because I'm going to be 6 feet away or something like that. Thanks, Nick, man. Looking forward to seeing more of you when the season starts.
Good to see you. Acho, congratulations, baby. Keep doing your thing.
That's real. All right, guys. Coming up, the NBA relaunch is right around the corner, but will all the uncertainty put an asterisk next to this year's champion? We get into that next. Speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Now let's move to the NBA, which is gearing up for next month's relaunch. But it seems like more and more question marks are popping up each day from a number of players, from the Joker, Nikola Jokic, to Jabari Parker, to Buddy Hield, recently tested positive for the coronavirus. Meanwhile, several other big names have already said they won't be playing, and now a GM is expressing concern about the quality of play when the season resumes. We're joined now by the one and only Slick Rick, Fox NBA analyst Rick Bucher. But Marcellus.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to start with you, bro. With all the uncertainty around this coming season, do you think this year's NBA champ will have an asterisk by it?
I'm praying that it doesn't, but I know it will. Let's just be real about it. Just because all these variables are at play, that's going to give every fan out there a million excuses why their team didn't win. We could talk about the obvious, that this season was shut down because Rudy Gobert tested positive, or as late as Jokic tested positive. It's coming for the big dogs. Who's going to test positive going forward, and will they be on your squad, and will your squad still advance without the big dog? So your barbershop appointment just got 2 hours longer because you're going to be sitting in there arguing all of these different scenarios as you watch this unfold in real time. If you think about it, realistically, if the Lakers don't win it all, people are going to have a big problem with this because they had the momentum. Oh, we beat the Clippers, Milwaukee, and the Celtics right before it all stopped. Imagine the Lakers not winning it all, or worse, the Lakers losing like in the first round. Asterisk. If the Clippers win it all, people say, oh, man, no, they weren't even looking as good as other teams. Milwaukee had a better record. If Milwaukee wins it all, we're like, Milwaukee? The same team that last year, they couldn't even get past Kawhi, and now all of a sudden? So every scenario is at play. There's no such thing as a status quo or a favorite. So I think that's why there's going to be an asterisk.
Technically, no, there will be no asterisk. You know, these books up here, they're not just for decoration. They actually, I have them and I look at them occasionally. This is the 04-05 NBA guide. There's one put out every year. There is no asterisk next to the San Antonio Spurs winning the 99 championship, even though that was after a lockout and was only a 50-game season. And oh, by the way, they beat the 8th-seeded New York Knicks in the finals. So there's a lot of reason to say that that deserved an asterisk. But nobody talks about the Spurs in hindsight and goes, well, they won 4 championships and won with an asterisk. Mm-hmm. They just say Tim Duncan won 5 championships. So I don't believe that there's going to be an asterisk put on this. Literally, obviously, there's not going to be. Figuratively, it really depends on who wins and how they win.
Right.
And I'm not with you, Marcellus, that it's only the Lakers. Like, if the Bucks win, if the Clippers win, there's 4 or 5 teams that you could legitimately say, we thought they had a shot. But if the Utah Jazz or the Indiana Pacers or the 6-seeded Philadelphia 76ers jump up and win the title, and then in hindsight, they never win another one, like that group never wins again, we're going to look back at that, and in our minds at least, we're going to put an asterisk on it and say, well, yeah, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid got one, but they only got one, and they got one with that whole coronavirus thing going on. We'll put our own asterisk on it.
First off, I got to get something off my chest. Can we talk about how hard asterisks this pronounce?
Yo, can we just ask an asterisk?
Can we just have honesty hour real quick? It's my second day on the show. I'm just trying to be transparent. Asterisks is the hardest word to pronounce in the English language. Now, let me get back on track. There will not be an asterisk. There's not going to be one.
Asterisk? You say asterisk?
There's not going to be one because Slick Rick, I agree with you. When you think about the 99 Spurs team, you don't say, well, that was a shortened season. When you think about the 2011-2000 Heat team that won the chip, you don't say, well, they only played 66 games. For those who are watching who might be more football fans, when you think about the Super Bowl, and when we think about it in about 10 or 15 years, when the Niners played the Ravens, you're not like, oh, but the power went out. And remember, that turned everything around. No, you just simply say, you know, the Ravens won, or you say the Heat won, and you say the Spurs won. When you look back on the careers of greats, you don't start to factor in all the random different things that contributed to why they won. You don't look at the 94-95 Rockets and say, oh, wait, remember, Jordan went to play baseball. Like, I'm saying, Marcellus, not you, not the literal you, the proverbial millennial that's going to grow up and check Wikipedia and start, yes, me, exactly. That's going to grow up and check Wikipedia. They're not factoring in all these outside factors into who won the chip, sir. These old heads, that's an old head mentality. You're not going back through your newspaper. That's just not how it goes.
Hey, I'm sorry. I don't even go to the barbershop, as you can tell. But I know what they argue about, and I know why I don't go, because they argue about stuff like this. As soon as you walk into someone and they're talking NBA basketball, and you say 1999, immediately they know that was a shortened season. They don't bring it up. Why they keep talking about it? As soon as you say Hakeem Olajuwon, Houston, they won two. Yeah, man, Jordan, what? There it went. See, and that's the point. Asterisk.
I mean, here's a problem. You go to these argumentative barbershops. That's the problem. You need to start going to barbershops where they don't argue so much.
Hey, that's where my people go. I'm not going to a salon. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how the game goes. My point is this. I'm just saying it's going to occur. Am I going to agree with that occurrence? Absolutely not. But if we are going to sit up here and say, teams are not going to look at this situation,
There may not even be a play-in game. They may only take the top 16. What about the ninth seed saying we could have made a shot and run at it and been in the playoffs? Dog, I'm sorry to say it. Asterisk is coming.
That's fair. I'm with you. Well, elsewhere in the NBA, a couple of players are beefing about health issues not related to the coronavirus, with Pat Bev and Jared Dudley going back and forth on Twitter. Dudley tweeted that there's open, quote, not enough talk about soft tissue injuries with basically 2 weeks of full court 5-on-5 to get ready for a 3-month season. But y'all know Pat Bev. He fired back, writing, again, basketball is a year-round sport. We don't want to hear about that bleep. Check ball. All right, Marcellus, whose side are you on?
Man, stop playing Pat Beverly. Check ball. Nobody want to hear you. Jared Dudley, do a podcast if you got all these damn excuses and list them on the podcast. Stop trying to wax poetic about sports and lay this nice soft mattress down and no one is thinking about my soft tissue injuries. You mean your soft mental tissue injuries, because that's what this
he went
like.
There.
Everybody went knows there. Once you cross the white lines, I don't give a damn what happens in your life, what you've been going through. You can have a torn ACL. If you stepped out here, you about to feel the pain. It's crazy that he actually said that, and he said it about the sport of basketball. Let's go back to high school, Acho. I used to look at them basketball players like, man, y'all kind of soft. And they used to look at me like, man, you kind of crazy to play the game of football. In football, when you get hit, coach looks at you like, you better hit him back. In basketball, when you get hit, they say, bleep, stop, everyone, stop. Oh, my God, please, in that tank top, walk to the free throw line. Yeah, they say, please, walk to the free throw line. Here's 2 shots for you. No one do anything. Don't do anything. Let them shoot. And that's that sport. That's like the most recreational, lazy sport next to bowling. Like, you would literally be chilling and go bowling. You literally be chilling and play basketball. And now Jared Dudley's going to talk about his hamstrings are sore. I ain't trying to hear it. Check ball, bro.
Man, we just created another subject, the disrespect for basketball right now.
No, it's jealousy. It's more jealousy.
Look. I love this because it's so stupid. I love that Pat Bev is on brand and he's creating something out of nothing. But I also appreciate it because this ties into our first subject. Like, Jared Dudley's trying to put an asterisk on this thing before we've even played. Like, hey, we got all these, external various things that are changing the template. I love Pat Bev's mentality. Mm-hmm. Are we playing in the yard? Are we playing in the Y? Are we playing at Madison Square Garden? I don't care. Check ball. Let's go. And it goes to the heart of whoever wins it is going to have to go through a lot. Every championship, you go through a lot in various ways. You go through injuries. You go through disruptions. You go through conflict. There's countless things that happen. And Pat Bev is saying, yeah, forget all that because all it doesn't matter. Yes. I just need to win a championship. But I love it because can we get that picture back up again of the 2 tweets and the 2 of them? These 2 are so on brand. Like, doesn't Jared Dudley, that's the face that you would put with that tweet, right? And yes. That's the Pat Bev look that you would put with his tweet. Yes. It's so good and it's so rich. It adds so much to the whole deal. So I'm glad that they both jumped into this, but I'm of the Pat Bev mentality.
Here's my thing. I'm going to straddle the line, gentlemen.
Oh.
I'm going to commit the Cardinals. I know. They're both right. Now, I got my master's degree with my undergrad degree in kinesiology, and Marcellus, contrary to common belief, I actually went to class, so I always love when I can tell people things that I learned. Here's the thing you have to remember.
Wow.
Load too quickly equals injury. That's all Pat Bev is saying. If we experience the load of 5-on-5s, with a shortened amount of time, that will lead to injury. So I understand what I understand what Jared Dudley is saying in that, hey, like, let's take some precautions. I get that. However, if I'm trying to win, I need these dogs like Pat Bev. Who's just like, you know what? I'm not trying to hear about all that. Just check ball. The difference is I have the Dudley mentality. which is why I'm sitting on a desk wearing a suit and I no longer wear a helmet. It's because I'm very cognizant of my body, my mind, and everything that goes into that. So I see what Jared Dudley is saying. And Jared Dudley's not wrong, right? We can sit here and act like men and just say, Jared Dudley ain't wrong.
He wrong.
Pat Bev is just, he got that dog in him and he don't want to hear all that nonsense.
How do you say kinesiology and cognizant and can't say asterisk? Like, first of all, what kind of education is that? I love it, man. You gotta stop.
Look, first off, asterisk has like four consonants in a row. Okay, that's the problem. Okay, that's my issue here.
Man, this is insane. Slick Rick, thank you for agreeing with me. I don't understand why he's straddling the fists, ripping his pants, trying to be on both sides when we all know the only way you're gonna get up that mountain is if you forget about everything else, including circumstances, and get to climbing.
Slick Rick, you the man. Well, coming up, some people are saying Dak Prescott has all the leverage over the Cowboys. But Uncle Jimmy tells us what he thinks. Next, speak for yourself.
Welcome back. Let's talk Dak Prescott, who just signed his franchise tender. And now Bleacher Report says Dak has all the leverage in the negotiations over his long-term deal with the Cowboys. Dak could be looking at a lot of money if Dallas doesn't sign him long-term. Right now, we're joined by Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy, you agree that Dak has all the leverage? All of it?
Hell no. He ain't got no leverage. Are you crazy? Dak Prescott is doing what we used to call back in the day. He is SOS. Stuck on stupid. Sitting on wait a minute. All right? Look here, man. Dak can do a lot of things. All right? He can run. He can throw. Mm-hmm. He can take a punch. But you know what he can't do?
Oh, that's cold.
He can't sign that check. See? And that's what's wrong with kids nowadays.
Talk to him.
Everybody want to be Dak Prescott. Don't nobody want to be Jerry Jones. See, that's all these kids' problem. They think money can buy them happiness. Listen to me, y'all. Money cannot buy you happiness. The only thing money can buy you is a sassy little redhead with low self-esteem going through a midlife crisis that'll help you take your mind off your problems time to time, occasion to occasion. And see, that's exactly what Jerry Jones did when he went out and got Andy Dalton.
Sound like you're going to be happy, though. That ain't happiness. Those moments, they add up. You don't want to continue and connect those moments, Unc?
Hey, but can Unc say asterisk?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear you say asterisk one time, Unc.
Astercise.
I am not dealing with you no more. Dak has the leverage. That $31 million is just the beginning, y'all. Y'all trust me. He's going to get paid. See y'all tomorrow, America.